بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. With regard to this last hadith of this chapter that we read, where we are encouraged not to delay in doing good work, we must not procrastinate, but we must be eager and go ahead in doing good work. And this hadith was with regard when the jihad took place with regard with the Jews in Khaybar. And when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I'll give this sword to somebody whom Allah loves, and he loves Allah, and Allah will give victory on his hand. All the Sahaba desired that it must be them, and from there we learn that we should also always desire to do good work. Further, the Jews of Medina Munawwara were banished to Khaybar. The Jews who lived in Medina Sharif, but they continuously broke their agreements with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They caused lot of trouble, and then they were banished and they were sent away to Khaybar. And this was now when they even committed wrong and evil from there, planning and plotting all wrong and joining with the non-believers of Makkah Sharif and other places, and always causing harm to the Muslims. Then now was the time that Nabi Ali Sadat Wasalam laid siege to them and waged war, made jihad against them. However, even this did not stop them from their treachery towards the Muslims. All the time, the Jews, it was ingrained in them to break the laws of Allah, disobey Allah Ta'ala previously, and in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to openly fight and harm the Muslims. And this is what they have vowed until today. This is all the treachery in various forms that they use. It is wise for us to understand that they are our enemies by nature, and we must not befriend them, and we must not fall for the traps that they set for us. In the 7th year of Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally decided to conquer Khaybar. The Muslims were victorious and the Jews were forced to flee to Syria. Then even from there, where they were at about 160 kilometers from Medina Sharif, but they had to leave there also, and they had to go away to Syria. This we see also, we learn a lesson, and a great lesson we should take. When we break the laws of Allah, we have problems in our lives, and then we have to run from place to place, and we don't find refuge anywhere. And as somebody had said very beautifully to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that when somebody is throwing arrows at you and you want to save yourself from the arrows, what must you do? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, just flee to the person who is throwing the arrows. Now you are safe from his arrows. So all conditions which are coming from Allah Ta'ala to save us from these conditions, just run to Allah. Fafirru ilallah. Then you have got your full refuge and you have got your full protection. Wherever else you're going to run, halat and conditions, the arrows are going to reach you. Just run to Allah, and now you are safe. You are in His protection. So this is what we must do. Whenever conditions come upon us, run towards Allah. Go towards the masjid, more towards namaz, obedience of Allah, and then see how Allah's help comes, and also in the heart, how much of solace and contentment a person finds. And if he tries to run anywhere else, there is no way in the world that a person can escape from Allah. No way in the universe where a person can escape from Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not desire leadership and position. This which comes in the hadith that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I wish that death must be given to me, the sword, and I must be having this honor. But this was not that he desired leadership and position, but was anxious to be blessed with the glad tidings of having love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and achieving victory for the Muslims. So whenever any work of deen, there is an opportunity, we must be desirous, but not for the position that I'm president, I'm chairman, etc. Not for that at all, but desirous to do the work of deen. And getting an opportunity to do the work of deen, wherever we can, we must be desirous and we must try and take on that job to please Allah and for the benefit of Islam and the Muslims. Further also we read, disbelievers should first be invited towards Islam. The Islamic way of jihad was always this. Wherever the mujahideen went, first to give them da'wat of Islam. And that was that they used to camp around their place and give adhan, namazes, for the namazes for 3 days. That is 15 namazes, 15 adhans. And adhan is da'wat tamma. The whole da'wat of Islam comes in the adhan. And it is given loudly, so they hear the adhan and then they get the da'wah. And that is, we should all make an endeavor and dua that our adhans remain always clear and distinct. And this is the da'wah for Muslims to come to namaz and for non-Muslims to accept Islam. The whole da'wah of namaz is also in adhan, and the whole da'wah of Islam is also in adhan. And the dua after adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. It is da'wati tamma, a complete da'wat. So Allah make that always our adhans carry on, and we give it in the true spirit, and we have that feeling of the adhan. If after this, if they refuse Islam, they should be requested to pay the jizya. That is, it is Allah's earth, and Allah's laws must be enforced on this earth. And all must be lived by the laws of Allah Ta'ala. If they don't want to agree to that, actually it should have been that they should have fought and killed. But they are given the position, now you live as second class citizens. Now you pay tax to the Muslim government and you be obedient to the Muslim government. And in fact, this is now the second and more closest stage of da'wah. Now they will interact with the Muslims, not only hear the adhan from far, but now they will live with the Muslims and they will see what Islam is. And that is a practical da'wah of Islam now. First was a verbal da'wah, the adhan. And now is the practical da'wah, they will see the lives of the Muslims, how the Muslims live, and that is da'wah to them. If they refuse to pay the jizya, the Muslims should wage jihad against them. Now the third stage is now just to wage jihad against them. And for these people who are blockages for the truth to prevail in the world, they, for them now will be that they have to be eliminated. And the example of this is given beautifully. Maulana Muhammad Umar Shah Panalpuri Rahmatullah Ali says that if there is a fire, a building on fire, and the fire brigade comes now sounding its bells and its warning signals, and some people sit on the road and say, we won't allow you to go, and that whole building is burning and there are thousands of people in the building, so these people the fire brigade will drive over them. They can't be just now going to stop there, and because of them let the whole building burn down and let thousands of people burn. No, they will have to be eliminated. So whoever blocks Islam now, and now to save the rest of the people for the rest of generations also from the fire of Jahannam, they will have to be eliminated. From here also we see anyone who does wrong in Islam and he's blocking and is teaching the wrong things, then such people have to be eliminated also. They have to be, it has to be made clear to the people that these people are leading you to Jahannam, and we have to stay away from such people. And the truth has to be made known at that time, and if the ulama don't do it at that time, they are guilty of mudahanat, of concealing the truth. The truth must be made, and especially people who lead other people to wrong. One is a person's own wrong what he does. His private matters with Allah and he's doing wrong. That is a different attitude, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi explains. But those who are in leadership position and they are leading people wrong, it is imperative, necessary to expose those people and to let people know that they are taking you on the wrong path. It is not permissible to kill a person who has uttered the testimony of faith unless he rejects a fundamental teaching of Islam or commits an act of kufr. If a person says, I'm a Muslim, now don't interfere with that person. Don't you judge the person now, you take his word for it. But when he does clearly things which are of kufr and leading people to wrong, whatever type it might be, then of course he won't be spared. Then he will be exposed. So any acts of kufr, any words of kufr, like for example a person is promoting feminism, which is totally against Islam, that a woman must rule her husband and she must be the boss, etc. Those are now completely wrong things, and such people will have to be exposed, and they will have to be told that they are doing the wrong thing. If any person is doing his own guna, that is between him and Allah. There we are told not to expose such a person. Conceal the guna. And in fact, you conceal the guna of a person, you will get sawab for it. But those are one's personal gunas. But when it comes to the matters of deen and people are being led in the wrong direction, then they have to be exposed. One, Allah give us tawfiq and let us get the proper understanding of deen and save us from being miftah lishar, keys and doors for evil, and miglaq lil khair, and we become locks for goodness. Let us be miglaq lishar, that we lock the doors of all evil and all wrong, and miftah lil khair, and we become keys of all goodness. May Allah guide us to righteousness.